they're all pretty big boys.
It is going that way, yeah, isn't it? It is going that way.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought I'd get pumped, you know, give the ladies something to look at when they don't get the material.
And they won't.
When it goes over their heads. Bless them. So it just looks slightly south of the neck.
Oh, bless them, yeah.
Got a couple of traps there popping.
Yeah. Now, which are traps? Tell me.
Traps are these bits, the little neck wings.
Yeah, little neck wings.
I think it's going to be really embarrassing if I got that wrong.
Been getting them in?
Yeah, getting them. I do some barbell shrugs. How quickly this has become Joe Rogan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm doing barbell. I do about, you know, 60K barbell shrugs.
It's always like this. I don't know if you listen, but we normally go into our workout regimes early doors. So what are you lifting these days? What about you, Glenn? You pumping?
No.
No. You look tan, actually.
Thank you very much.
You do look very tan.
I've just come back from the south of France.
Oh, so that's lovely.
With a two-year-old, so not so lovely.
Yeah, did you
not
take
his.
Your... I hope you took one with you. What's great is that if I eventually have to cut all of this out, the start of this podcast will just be me clearly having hyperventilated from laughing at the intro that doesn't go in.
We'll
do a Patreon or something.
You did come up with an idea.
Yeah, I've actually forgotten about that one because it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's tough.
So I've come up
with... You were due to be here a couple of weeks ago.
And we got seduced by Pirate's Gold.
Yeah, you did, which is totally fine. But I mean, my only gripe was that Paul messaged me and was like, who's on the pod this week? I said, I got the Death Hilarious boys in. He's like, oh, that'd be class. I was like, you're right. Like, love those guys. He's like, they'll be so funny. I was like, yeah, I'm buzzing to have them in. Yeah, they're coming in Monday night. He's like, oh, cool, man. Have a good one. I'll catch you soon. Sorry, mate. Message from you boys.
Yeah.
Paul's just offered us a gig. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, is that how it works?
He's gone, well, they're in town, are they?
Yeah.
I have a bit of that. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the fact that he can't make Mondays anymore, but when he's actively stealing guests for his own gigs. But I understand. I mean, of course, I totally understand.
I mean, you know what? At the end of the day, it was 125 quid minus fuel expenses, split it in half. That was 45 quid back pocket.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can keep that.
Bit of tax on
my tax for a month.
Yeah. And I think I spent that at the McDonald's on the way home.
That's
Mega services.
You know, you've got to get the halloumi sticks as well as the fries.
McDonald's on the way there, McDonald's on the way back. Yeah. It is net loss stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Deliveroo mid-gig. Give me a sec.
What's your nearest McDonald's?
That's the best bit. I've definitely been, usually in Bristol, many times on stage. And obviously we've been doing this for so long now and we haven't written any new material for quite some time. Mm, so it's so rote that I'm able to think about anything else, and most of the time in the middle of the gig I'll just go, I can't wait,
get McDonald's on the way back. So good.
I thought you can see me going fast.
I thought you were gonna say I've been doing this so long that during my gig I'm able to get my phone out and order a delivery. I thought that's confident. You just bear with me a minute, lads. Get it sent to the gig for when you get off stage. Well, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, mate. We've known each other for a long time, haven't we?
Very long time.
At least 10 years,
yeah. I think. Yeah, I was trying to think where we first met. Was it the zoo gig? I think we did it.
Oh.
We did a gig at Bristol Zoo once back in the very early
days. Yeah, I do remember
days.
That gig.
Rest in peace. Yeah, we I remember that gig.
Rest in peace, Bristol Zoo, and half the comics who are on
that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Some of whom should have been in a zoo.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember we did 4 sets back to back. Do you remember?
It was tough.
And like, it was 20-minute sets each. I think we abandoned the last one due to lack of interest.
Yeah.
Because then the silent disco, the not so silent, well, we told it was a silent disco. This was like late at night.
Yeah.
Place full of animals. And we were told it was a silent disco. And we were sat outside with a few other comics. And we couldn't hear each other speak.
No,
and
I was like, this feels... And I was like, as you should see, like, just these like orangutans wanted to kill themselves, just all slumped there, just willing themselves to death.
Yeah, it was a deafening disco.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, at the time, Darren said, I can imagine there's like they've had a meeting with the committee and they've just seen the pound signs for the museum.
Yeah, of course.
For the zoo. And there's like some like elderly professor who's sort of really got the welfare of the animals at heart, and he's just been totally sort of ignored.
They'll like you a little bit. Come on,
Professor.
Yeah, they like music. Studies have showed that they like a bit of music. It's not too bad.
Millipedes respond well to reggae. Yeah. We've been told.
It's always hard. Comedy, when there's music going on in a similar area, is always tough because it just sounds so much more fun.
Comedy always loses out to all the other art forms.
Of course, because it's the worst.
it's the most insufferable. It's the worst one. It's done by the worst people.
Yes, definitely.
It's not very good. It's self-indulgent. I saw your pilot.
Oh, the Free Will's Army.
Sitcom. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Thanks, mate.
Genuinely, really brilliant.
Nice one, thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing we...
Still here?
Pulled it off.
Still here.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's amazing we kind of pulled it off, really, considering there was no money. And yeah, we filmed it in a local working men's hall near where I live, where my parents live. And yeah, it was good. Yeah, we pulled it off. I mean, it got a good response online.
It's about like Welsh freedom fighters.
They were a real like organization in the 1960s. And we, years ago, it's like even pretty much almost before we started the Death Hilarious, we had this idea of these people, but being resurrected in the kind of modern day, you know, people in the middle of nowhere with nothing better to do.
Sort of modern day Dad's Army.
Because Dad's Army, although it's kind of, I remember when I was, you know, you'd watch it when you were little, because it was on like on Sunday or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you think, as you got a bit older, I was thinking Dad's Army was a bit like sort of stuffy and a bit sort of, oh God, it's like Sunday afternoon, cup of tea and a sandwich kind of comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you realize, actually, no, that's actually really,
really good.
Well-written character comedy with fantastic situations. And yeah, it's not as edgy as like The Office or Partridge or The League of Gentlemen, but it was solid.
And it's kind of held up.
Did you see the episode with Captain Mannering?
Here we go. Another unusable 10 minutes. All right, come on. Let's get out of your system.
Bit that child's face off. Captain Mannering, he is a bit with this. He just sees this kid and, you know, the kid comes up to it and he goes, "Are you Captain Mannering?" And he just goes, like
Pennywise. Rips his like face off. He goes, "Stupid boy."
Yeah. Because the war had a terrible effect on the men.
I was watching Dad's Army with my wife ages ago. Just like chucked on the telly one afternoon.
And date night.
She goes, she goes, "Wasn't the Holocaust happening at the same time?" And I was like, "Oh fuck yeah,
yeah."
Oh God,
where's that sitcom? Bit of balance, please, BBC.
It's all very well and good, Mannering and co. Yeah. I think there's a genocide happening.
Yeah. why is Captain Mannering not in Eastern Europe if he's so much of a hero?
The stakes seem pretty low for you guys, considering what's happening in Europe right now.
Families being shot into mass graves and you're just marching up and down with broom handles. I don't think you're heroes. To my mind. Oh God. Anyway, good. The thing we filmed. Yeah. Thanks for watching.
No, it was
very
great.
Kind of you.
I loved
not
it.
Really
it
many
was great.
Nobody else did.
It was great.
No, I think there are some people. It's just one of those things, isn't it? We sort of made it to show kind of industry people, and then it's, you know, none of them watched it. Obviously.
Yeah.
Now it's got to the point where we don't even know if our emails are getting through to our agent.
Yeah,
no.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, it just bounces back with an error message, and you're like, "Oh, she's probably just on holiday."
I had the same with my email. I genuinely convinced myself. I was like, you know what? I don't think my email address is working. I had this realization.
It can't possibly be.
I was like, I reckon I've sent 1,000 emails, and then when I won back, I was like, I'm just going to send it now, which is straight through.
Postmastered fail.
It's fixed now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not been.
I sent them all again.
I definitely had a situation like that with our last agent. He was a lovely man, great guy, you know, really, really got on with him. But I
convinced Aaron he could do well without me.
Pretty much. Really led me into the lion's den, Edinburgh 2019.
Yeah,
spent about $6,000 of support with the money that I grafted.
You'd be all right without him. It was mostly you.
What a rat.
It was a character building experience for sure. And I think it was definitely.
And I got a good review and I wasn't even there.
Stayed at home 5 stars.
I got stayed at home.
Best friend ever.
He did get a name check, basically going what happened. Pretty much, he said.
I'll tell you exactly what he said.
Oh, listen, show me a tattoo, Glenn. You're in a fight.
He said,
you say word for word what the review said.
No, I said the very last line of the review. I mean,
I remember he laughed on me
as well, because it's damaged us both terribly.
I remember he compared me to white noise. Ooh. That's what I remember. He said,
"Grating white noise." Actually, is what he said. The line said, "Whatever former balance former partner Glenn Wade brought to this act is sorely missed."
Wow. Never a true word.
I can't remember. I think it was Jordan Brooks said to me, he said, wow, you got a good review from Ben and you weren't even here.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How many people can say that?
It wasn't, because he saw us again then a few years later and he just gave us the
same old lottery.
It was. It was his way of going. I think he went, yeah, the Death Hilarious.
When there were two men on stage, they did something for 5 minutes, they left. That was pretty much, well, it was just like a list of things.
What does he know?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been on
like industry nights out with him and he's sort of been there and he's just got, he's like one of these guys who wears a fucking rucksack to a nightclub. Do you know what I mean?
I hate those guys.
We've definitely had that. I think you have that thing in the industry where you sort of, you just get introduced to everyone at the start and people are very excited and then
it's
kind of like sort of
big time.
I didn't have the excitement stage.
Just hanging around.
It was a Pleasure Island in Pinocchio when they lead all the children in and they're all smoking cigars and throwing stuff and they just close the doors behind them and they all turn into donkeys.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. How's things going with you?
Anything
interesting in the pipeline?
I do gigs.
Yeah,
you do
gigs. And they're fine.
You're very funny.
It's kind of, the same set I've been doing for a long old time.
But at the end of the day, it's like one of those things that it's like, I think we just...
It's like one of those things, you just have to write me material.
Which I refuse to do.
Well, we haven't written anything new for about 5 years.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a bit of a dip and then we realized that the sort of demographic had changed in the student areas.
No,
they wouldn't have seen us, so we just
That's good, actually. Yeah, that's the good thing.
Actually,
the audiences are doing better now, so they've moved on and got. They're going to sort of nicer clubs. If you still play the same pubs and clubs, that demographic changes.
It's evergreen.
Sort of post
50 quid.
Post
45. Jeremy, after a few.
Yeah.
But we realized, I think it was like post COVID when we started gigging as well, that like some of the students in like when we do like. Maybe like Cardiff or Bristol or whatever. Oh wow, you were 8 when we wrote this sketch.
Yeah.
And now
honestly.
Now you're legally allowed to drink.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
So come this way.
Have you been to a green room before?
No, it's not actually green.
Yeah. A little peek behind the magician's curtain.
Do you like alcohol-free Peroni? And Monster Munch, because we haven't got.
Have you ever had free curry before the gig, Jeremy?
I can't really eat before gigs. Weirdly, I'm not. I mean, afterwards, Jesus.
Yeah,
I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, the passenger seat of my car.
Oh yeah,
it's
my
almost
mind gets bad.
Human sized.
You can tell how much I've been gigging based on the state of my car.
Yeah, the bin. Yeah, it's a bit. It's a bin. And sometimes if I look at the food on the passenger that's meant to be, for the drive home, it's disgusting.
We've eaten a few times before the gig. There was one time on my birthday, we had a gig in a very lovely venue, actually, called The Chapel in Cardiff. And it was quite a big gig at the time for us. We hadn't been going for that long. And it'd been my birthday, so we went out for a 3-course curry beforehand.
Ooh, that's heavy.
So it's like sitting in our stomach. Obviously, we've got like stage costumes, so I wear like
it's quite energetic performance.
Like cross dress and stuff. And Glenn sort of dressed in like
when waistcoats fitted me, I used to wear waistcoats.
Yeah, and I remember we went on, and he was just sweating profusely, and it felt like you had like a cannonball of ghee in your stomach. And both of us was like, "Oh, I'm not feeling good here," and then he just went, I've got to go change. I'm going to have a panic attack. And
he just dashed
out to his car and changed into like, I don't know, whatever.
It was like a check shirt and jeans.
So it made no sense.
These guys are really going off the wall now.
He was there dressed like sort of, early 70s Bowie. And I was just there looking like I'd, just finished a shift in a call center.
No, that's kind of why.
Still dangling around his neck.
That's why I can't do it, really, because that's sort of the fear I have is that I'll eat a lot and not
we did a gig last year where there was curry before, and I've got a great picture of you chomping into a pompadom. Pompadom?
I like pompadom very much.
Pompadom is, that's what working class, that's working, that's working class Welsh people
you take
say.
The boy
pompadom.
The valleys, yeah.
Get some pompadom.
Pompadom.
Pompadom and chucking Kwama.
Chicken Kwama.
Chucking Kwama is what we call it in our house.
I'm a nice
idiot who can't be bothered to read a menu.
I'm a nice loom masulu now. What's that mean? Lamb masala, what? That's
really nice.
That is terrible.
Yeah. Pompadom.
But yeah, like, Yeah, we also did the gig in Bristol for...
Are you going to talk about the Portcullis?
Yeah, the Portcullis.
Remember the Portcullis?
Oh, yeah, that was where Oppo used to be.
Tiny room upstairs.
Yeah, upstairs. Yeah, that was like my first gigs in Bristol.
Yeah, they were good gigs.
They were brilliant gigs. Run by the late great... I don't know if he's dead. The late great Paul Tanner.
Well, he was the landlord.
He was the pub.
He's a funny little guy, wasn't he?
He looked like John Bird.
We said he could look like John, an alcoholic John Bird, is what we used to call him. But he fucking loved us.
Yeah,
like, and he used to say, like, Vic and Bob, new Vic and Bob. Like, he absolutely loved us. And he loved us so much that he wanted us to play his wedding anniversary.
His 60th birthday.
Oh, right, okay. Here 60th birthday, right? Yeah. So we...
He called us as we were leaving. We're like, right, it's my 60th in two weeks.
And I want you, boy. I want you there. I want you boys there. So we went down. He was like, I think he was going to pay us. It was not bad money. So we were like, yeah, of course, we'll do it. So we went down and the place is jam-packed full of his
family and friends,
distant cousins, the lot, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of shuffle in. It's at, like, they've been drinking all day, right? Yeah. We come in the evening and, like, we sort of shuffle in with our, like, you know, fucking, you know, bag full of, you know, strap-ons and wigs.
Yeah,
and
if
stuff
you haven't
like
seen
dolls.
The Death Hilarious perform, it's...
There's a lot of strap-ons.
There's a lot of strap-ons, solved.
Again, I think we started with the strap-ons and we needed something to justify carrying bagfuls of strap-ons.
We worked backwards.
Yeah, you start with the strap-on and work backwards, exactly.
And we went, so we come in, we were like, oh, we managed to call up Paul, he's arseholes, right? Mm. And he comes up to us, he goes, hey, are my boys, Vic and Bob, my boys, lad. We're just like, okay, where'd you want us, you know? And we could hear his wife just going, Paul, we don't want them. I don't want them here.
She said to everyone in French, when Paul wants them, I don't.
Paul wants them, I don't. Perfect. So we overheard that. So then we went upstairs.
Get that on the poster.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah, that's true. But like, we went upstairs and there was a folk musician on playing.
Lovely.
Like, and just entertaining.
The big bash for Paul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was the governor, wasn't he?
He pulled out all the stops. And, we went upstairs and we went back down. We said, oh, Paul, there's a folk musician. He goes, ah, I was telling him to fuck off. Literally said that. I said,
and loads of his family are watching him. He's a good musician.
Yeah,
he's
like, we can't tell him to fuck off. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You fuck off, please, mate. I got a strap on to show a room full of strangers here. And shit a baby out of my ass.
Oh.
That's not a sketch we do.
That's a reference.
And I remember we did that gig and we did it next to a boiling tureen of curry. It was next to the stage the whole time, to the point where, like,
as close to us as you are. And you just had to be careful not to sort of, you know, that way, like, it's sort of like a sad pub curry or chili.
Yeah,
which has just been there for
bubbling
long.
Away.
Yeah.
It's got a skin on it.
Yeah. On like a low sort of heat, just there for the day. Yeah. That's in for the day. Yeah.
Sadly, a thicker skin than a lot of the audience members because they did not like us.
Didn't it go well?
Not really. Oh, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was with our act, and I don't know if you probably haven't had this. You're sort of just more likable person than us.
Definitely.
But like we just sometimes we get pockets of people.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You get like
definitely get that with your act.
I get one woman who really likes me.
Yeah,
that's what I get, and I always get she's in.
But that's because you remind her of her son who died in a house fire in the 90s.
And that's how she deals with her grief. She starts to cry. Her brain goes, "Don't cry in the Glee Club," and she's just going, Michael.
That's exactly how she sounds as well. Honestly, I always say there's
rain or shine.
Bad as it goes, there's normally one woman who finds it very funny, and I really hope it is the same woman.
Oh yeah, for sure. We did have a guy. We did have a guy.
He looked like loads of dead sons. I just look like dead sons. Can't help it, really.
Dead son comedy.
Yeah. That's an angle.
Oh, God.
We did have a guy in Edinburgh who we did our show in 2017, and he came to like more than one show, but he would always just dart out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'd clock him like mid gig and you'd sort of go, it's a fucking guy again.
Yeah.
He was like a lot older and but then he'd just disappear. He wouldn't wanna come.
That's nice. That's good of him.
I guess it is. I don't know what's more creepy.
Yeah.
Leaving.
You don't want him to hang
around. Yeah, I guess you don't want him hanging around.
So yeah, what was your podcast about again?
It's sort of
let's try and get it on.
Oh yeah, that's really good. Thanks, Glenn. The podcast started about, you know, just nice chats of non-controversial opinions, which is what it is today. But we've been branching out into the world of business development and inventions and sort of trying to cash in on that sort of Dragon's Den. You know, there's like performance, those high performance people like your Stephen Bartlett,
Jay
Humphries, this idea of like tackling the business world, and we want a piece of that.
Right.
So I came up with the invention of the mattress that you can piss into. That's sort of like the gold. That's sort of the gold standard of inventions. And we've had all sorts of great inventions on here. You know, Jesse Nixon came up with a app to bully people.
That's good.
That's really good.
I think Jamie D'Souza came up with the idea of putting pictures of notorious paedophiles on junk food to sort of tackle childhood obesity.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
good.
So that's a pretty good idea. I was wondering if you had anything that you wanted to pitch
It's an app, isn't it? It's an app for...
I honestly can't remember this. I'll talk about it in a bit.
It's an app which it's for getting people's like leftover curries.
That
is a good idea.
Right, okay, so it's not, and I must underscore this before we kick off. It is not,
for scroungers.
No, it absolutely is. But it's not too good to go.
Right. Okay.
Because you have to go to the restaurant and sit in the restaurant.
It's already gone. All right.
Okay.
It's already been half eaten, but
so it's off the plate.
It's off the plate.
I am someone whose weight has gone up and down over the years. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like
we fluctuate.
I think there's not a single person.
No, I think the three of us can we it kind of, you know. I honestly do, if it wasn't insane and factually impossible. Mm. I would say if I looked at food and I put weight on, I'd be like, yeah, I think that happens.
Yeah,
I'd go past
there's not one of us that's seen a burger on the floor of a very greasy high street. I'm not gone. I wonder if no one's looking.
That's terrible.
If you could guarantee me no one was looking.
Yes.
If you could, if
they knew how long it had been there.
I'm going to have to Google first if this is a crime. If I'm not going to do jail time for it, I'll eat it off the
floor. We've all done things food-wise we're not proud of.
Well, I've got the most famous one of me, which is famous between me, Darren, and the six people who watched our podcast.
Yeah.
Two of whom I suspect were bots.
I loved your podcast. The good guys.
It was
fantastic.
It was good. Thanks.
Any plans to bring that back?
No.
We'll come on to your new project at the end of the show.
Yeah, for sure. Go on. Shameful food moment.
So I was about 8 or 9 and
We're going way back.
Oh yeah, this is proper sort of
8 or 9 teen.
Yeah, 8 or 9 months ago. I was about 8 or 9, and I've been to a party in a Burger King in Swansea.
That's nice.
In Union Street in Swansea.
Picture the scene.
And it was under work.
Picture the scene. Yeah. I pictured it.
Work your thoughts, and in them see a fat child. Behold a burger on his plate. And anyway, so it had been like, you know, kids from my school or whatever, and someone I knew, and it was downstairs in this Burger King, and we obviously, you know, kids being kids, most kids don't eat a lot.
Because
they're more interested in having sweets and playing and running off, right?
Yeah.
So whatever. I'm learning this to my cost.
Idiots.
Who am I to? They're missing the trick. What is the problem?
Fucking monks.
So they had...
getting lured in. Lured to a B&Q car.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's not go back to that.
Reference something we will have cut out.
Let's keep this bit on the show.
Just so you can use at least half the material.
Okay, sorry.
The Burger King had a mascot. I don't know if you remember him. He was called like Vid Kid or something. And he was like...
I can't call him that anymore.
No. There was a kid in a wheelchair, but he was just called Wheels.
Oh, okay.
It was like a group of children. There was like they were a bit stereotypical. There was like a girl from the Far East who had like a camera. There was like, and this kid anyway, they love photographs.
They love it though.
They do love it. It's true.
Love it.
So, but there was another one, and there was like a black guy, and there was a kid in a wheelchair. It was meant to be like it was like a sort of. Politically correct,
a United Nations.
Of course,
before that became something that
United Colors of Benetton idea of the
it's
world.
It's a diverse group of
a diverse
group of greedy kids.
Yeah, no, they weren't greedy. I was greedy.
Oh, sorry.
But this guy's Vid Kid. He looked like he was in the Hitler Youth. He was this blonde, tall thing, and he came out and he had like goggles on, a backwards baseball cap, which was like the epitome of 90s revolution, wasn't it?
What a prick.
And he came out and everyone's like, you know, oh, you're gonna dance with him now. So you do like the, you know, the hokey cokey and all this, and then
sorry, party back.
Sounds like the Wicker Man. You dance with him,
Hold on, he's not real though, is he, Vid?
No,
Kid?
But he's like, you know, like Ronald McDonald or the Mr.
So
Mr. Wimpy, like a costume.
So he a child,
so
a real child came out.
No, it's like a man
Kid.
Dressed.
It's a man dressed as a child.
It's a man dressed as a child, but about 7 foot tall because it was a costume.
Okay, I've got it. He was like in a mascot costume.
Like a mascot, exactly. Okay. Sorry.
Right, sorry.
This was not made clear. And I'm very sorry.
No. That's
so
great.
He came out and he's like this, you know, not saying
dancing
anything.
Dancing around, yeah.
Doing those weird kind of movements.
And they got those dead eyes. I really hate... I've got a real phobia of mascots because of the dead eyes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I find them very like... Yeah.
It's unsettling.
Yeah. Sorry, so VidKid comes out. He's
so everyone's like, they're all dancing with the Hokey Pokey. And... and my mother was watching all the kids like playing and everything, and like, you know, it's like, woo, well, the Hokey Pokey.
Where's my son?
And she goes, where's my son? She looks over and I'm just going through everyone's leftovers, eating all the leftover burgers and chips.
Hey, tell you what though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, credit crunch. Would have been around the time of the credit crunch.
But he knew it was.
About 14 years before the credit crunch.
It was more sort of closing the mind.
Because my mother, being a working class woman from Swansea with very little in the way of emotional intelligence, but a lovely woman, but still not able to cope with extreme situations.
Yeah.
Instead of. Possibly what I would do if my son was doing that, which I'd come over and go, listen, mate, I said, you've already had your tea now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is other people's. You might want to go back to it.
Knock it off with the scraps.
So, yeah, knock it off. Don't steal people's food because people make fun of you and stuff. Yeah, go on, man. Now, have a drink and let's go and play, all right?
Yeah, finish your beer.
My mother grabbed me by the arm and started shrieking.
Oh, no.
And then dragged me up the stairs in tears, saying how much I'd embarrassed her.
Holy
and like dragged
hell.
Me to the car and like was sobbing all the way home, and I was sobbing all the way home.
It was your birthday?
No, it was a friend's birthday.
A friend's birthday.
Yeah, it would have been.
But still, I feel like there's trauma
it's
there.
Terrible trauma.
But they didn't know the kid at the party. Glenn had just sort of
wandered in.
His mother came in after him, and he smelt leftovers.
It was like a bloodhound for leftover burgers.
I think it's
like,
big kid's birthday again.
Again. but anyway, so this app that I thought of. My favorite food, hands down, is Indian food.
I love it.
So I think it's probably because a lot of... This doesn't happen in a lot of places, but I think it's because when you go for an Indian, it's almost always in the evening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or it's late.
Mm. Yeah.
And often people, particularly years ago, you don't see it much now, because all the Indians in Swansea used to open until like four in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you could go after a proper night out and still get a full curry. Now there's like one that opens till 1 a.m. And I always remember being very attuned to the fact that obviously people, when they're really pissed, they order and they don't eat it.
It's
and you
tough.
See it go back.
A lot of wasted food.
And the greedy...
entrepreneur in you.
A greedy entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck in me.
Yeah. The money
see
making.
See all this food
glutton.
Going back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bill overweight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's just food
the
going back.
The thrifty glutton,
going
back
and going, what is this? It's a full... It's a full Dansac.
It's
going
a
back
terrible
to the kitchen.
Waste. It's quite common to go. People go for curries after gigs sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a lot of waste.
Especially if I've already had a drink, I just think I can't have a huge meal now. Yeah, it's not really on my agenda. But you go out of politeness, and you have to sit through it, and you order something.
And you go, I'll just have a main.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my god, I've had
a few pompadoms and a main.
and
you know, and I'll slog through it, and then a couple of samosas. But you power through.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time you think, I'm actually consciously thinking, I want to get this to the point that it doesn't look too bad before it goes back. And I feel bad.
Well, with the idea of this app is that you got to, like, I think shame is very built into the app.
Okay.
So you have to, like, I think this should be like, there's a certain radius in with it. It only works in the restaurant. You have to go in and sit in like, a separate section of the restaurant,
sure.
So people know why you're there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They know what you're doing. You've got the app, and then basically you can see everybody's orders and how far they are through the meal.
That's nice.
And then you can basically bid on it.
Yeah,
you basically bid.
And
on
I think
the
as well, you could when
this
you
is elaborate. That's like
again, it does kind of it does hang on the diner who you are essentially preying upon filling in a brief biography so you can at least try and target someone. So you're like, this man is not historically a comfort eater, but he is bereaved. And you can look at his table and you go, well, he's not going to eat much of that.
No.
His appetite is low.
Because his mum's died and he's just going to push it around the plate like an actor in a film.
Yeah.
And then you just watch it and then you go, right, that.
Yeah.
Give me that.
So you think that's a good horse to back, you think.
And I think so. Yeah. I think it just reduces wastage. I think it makes the restaurant.
Do the people who are eating the meal, do they know?
But also, there's a prompt button so you can hurry them up.
Oh, that's nice.
Because and what happens is they've got a window in which to eat their meal. So if they take like, you know, hour and a half to eat their meal, then you get a little warning flash.
Little nudge.
Like, but you have to, you have, and then you get a, you get to see where the table is and you look over and you see someone just going.
Yeah.
But you are not allowed to tell them what to eat. So like you can't go.
No.
You can't go, that's well, finish the sagaloo because I'll have all the meat.
Yeah, yeah, just leave
so
them.
Just
yeah,
eat
yeah.
the rice and leave
yeah,
all the good.
Yeah.
You can't do
yeah,
that.
You can't do that. That's
not,
that's
not and in more desperate situations, you can call them
yeah.
during the meal.
And say, hurry up.
And just go like, come
you've
on.
You've had enough.
Like you got, you've, that kingfisher has been sat there for ages.
Don't take yeah, the exactly.
Are you going to drink it or can I have it in a plastic cup?
But it's open to abuse because if you're following someone, for example, you know, has serious anxiety or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could just go over and go, do you turn your hair straighteners off? And they're like, oh, I can't eat this. And then they're gone and then you've got the whole thing.
That's a nice touch. You could start playing sort of mind games.
Exactly. Yeah,
psyching them out.
Yeah.
Do you think if you knew what you left would be eaten by someone else, do you think you'd be more inclined to eat more or less of that food?
Oh, that's a good thing. It depends how charitable and how hungry you are, I suppose.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which is not a useful answer. But no.
End of conversation.
It's the only one.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's true. I think I would feel a bit guilty, like if I had a big meal, which I often do. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I think it might encourage me to eat sort of more of a what I would call a human sized portion.
Oh,
I might be like, that's enough food. And if this guy, and especially if they're looking over at you, like,
well, it depends if you, yeah, I guess you would make a decision based on who it is. Like if it was a really, really like skinny old man who was like just like, you know, looked like he was on death's door.
Yeah.
But he's using that for some reason despite dying. You might go, oh, Jesus Christ. All right, I'll leave some of this mixed grill for him. He needs the protein. Clearly.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good,
It's like a gifting. It's like the gift economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and if I you, think, yeah, except slightly more mean spirited.
But I really think it's got legs because if you think a lot of the time, if, you know, I'm not stuck sticking something in the food bank, but I don't really think to do that much, you know, chuck a tin in the food bank. I've done it before, but I'm not a regular food bank giver, mainly out of laziness and poverty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm normally dipping in, actually, in terms of the status of me. But I think if I've just eaten a big meal, like that's the time really when you feel like you should give a bit back.
Yeah, and Paul goes, you feel like you're most like kind of disgusting and decadent.
I don't think I've ever eaten a large takeaway and going, I feel pretty good about this. I tell you what, I'm feeling...
This is on top of the world. This is a good evening's work.
I tell you what, I got everything figured out.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with me right now. I think that's the time.
What's your worst, like, I don't know, last 5 to 10 years, like, I've eaten too much memory? Mine's very clear.
I think there's a Chinese takeaway in Bristol called the Mayflower that is really, good. Really excellent.
Yeah.
I think there was a time when we went in, was it? No, we can't have been there. It was somewhere else, a Thai restaurant. And I floated the idea of a pad Thai just for the table.
Oh.
Which
but you had your side set on it.
But it was just you on your own.
But essentially what I did.
Can we just get a round of drinks for the table?
And the guy's like, oh.
Yeah. What I essentially did was like, I've seen, and I tried to claim, sorry boys, I know it's uncomfortable.
I'm just
I think I tried to claim that I'd seen it done somewhere before, which is to get like a pad Thai for...
I'm sure Anthony Bourdain does
this. Yeah, yeah. They get actually a pad Thai sort of the kind of thing that you get as well as your meal.
Like bread.
Yeah.
Pad Thai's got bread as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you get...
Kingsmill loaf.
What you get is the full buffet.
I didn't bought in.
Yeah. What you get is the full buffet and then I'm also going to get an extra pad Thai for the table and then ate that as well.
Oh, that's bad.
And... I don't think anyone else on the table ate the pad Thai. I ordered an extra meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I regret it? Sure.
Yeah. Of course.
To this day.
Yeah.
Didn't you eat too many crisps in the last few years and you had a really bad day? Because Darren's... No,
I think the bad day came first and then I ate the crisps.
Oh, yes. Of course.
And then continued to have the bad day.
Yeah.
No, I'm a big fan of what my friend Charlie calls multibagging.
Sure. I think...
Which isn't what you might think.
No, it means different things in different circles.
I mean, if it's something we used to practice, is it all the multi-bag cribs into the big multi-bag bag?
No, I've never. No,
also make a giant.
That's ingenious.
Yeah, that's I've never heard of that. He's definitely going to do that.
You never
I'm
done
gonna
that?
Do that? No, oh, I'm just
going to copy it.
Just what a fat fuck I am. Yeah. I know about this. So you eat fucking shit tons.
Why waste extra calories?
Ice cream with crisps, yeah.
I love about you just give it to someone else and go, I'm not going to waste extra calories opening each bag.
Yeah.
So if you could pre-open them for me, so I'm just I'm not even breaking one seal.
That's what we used to do. We used to pour them all.
So you'd have different flavors.
Sometimes, yeah.
Wow, that's like a surprise bag.
Just stick it all. It's like
a pick and mix.
We used to call it the multi bag.
Well, for me, multi bagging is very conservative in contrast to what you're doing.
It's just eating loads of crisps.
It's just eating a big multi bag of crisps. That's what it is. Really, it's not a lot of poetry
they're
in it. Small it's
though.
What it is.
They're small the though, aren't they?
What are half the size of the ones you buy?
What are the crisps? For me, the only real crisp I do it with is the square crisp.
Of course,
because every single flavor of square crisp is per square inch. Mm. The it's bursting.
It's crazy.
Even the salted, it's
crazy.
Oh yeah, the cheese and onion ones are the best.
The cheese and onion,
and these are just
they're called
squares, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're called squares.
Yeah.
Walker squares.
Great texture, great crunch.
Yes.
Great flavor retention.
Oh, unbelievable!
Really good.
Almost got flavor to crisp ratio is almost 1-to-1.
Yeah,
similar kind of aesthetic to scampi fries.
Yeah,
they've got that
for sure.
Deep fried,
British
brown.
Yeah,
when crisps are crisps. When crisps are crisps.
When crisps are crisps. You could order a packet of crisps
without
being told off.
Yeah. Not being thrown in jail.
Not being thrown in jail for ordering scampi fries.
Yeah.
Can't even crisps are crisps, and your uncle wasn't gay, you know?
Your uncle wasn't out.
Well, I think this is an excellent idea because I think, you know, in the world today, you know, everyone's struggling.
I think it's
an easy way for people to pay it a bit
forward.
Too much
Indian going
back.
And I think
the app should be called Curry Up.
Curry Up, that's great.
Curry Up.
That's really good.
It's good,
isn't it? That's a genuinely good idea.
Curry Up.
But it's not too good to go because you have to go to the restaurant.
Well, no, too good to go is not being touched by anybody.
No.
See, I think there's a lot of legal loopholes.
Well, Darren, you recently worked in some sort of
I don't know whether they'd be
I think I think the people know.
Asian fusion restaurant, is that correct? I've added the word fusion.
He was the fusion.
What kind of
it was just a ramen restaurant.
Just a ramen. Oh, okay, because my question was gonna be,
what is ramen?
what is ramen and why would you eat it?
Yeah.
So that's that foreign food, is it? I used to work in a pub and as a waiter, and I'm not proud to say that when food has been come back from the table.
Right.
Because we'd all have an onion ring on the way to the table.
Genuinely,
yeah,
do you
know
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd all pop an onion ring on the way to the table.
Wow.
But I think the low points were the ones on the way back from the table.
Jerry, are you basically asking me if on the way to scoop the food into the bin, I pop a piece of craggy chicken in my mouth? Absolutely not.
No, me neither.
Absolutely
I wouldn't do that.
No, and I think I've never worked in a restaurant or anything.
I've only ever worked in shops or call centers.
I think there's been times that I've
offices.
Had if something I think, if I think, I think I, something definitely hasn't been touched, I'll pop that.
Well,
would you eat it based on the person you've taken it off?
100%.
So it's like a smart woman, you'd be like, I'll eat all that.
If it was an attractive woman, yeah, I'd
eat you'd eat the whole thing.
I'd eat the stuff she'd spat out.
you'd scoop it out of her mouth, ideally.
Yeah. She's like vomited. She's got serious.
Are you finished with that napkin?
Yeah.
So you just spit your gristle out into it.
Yeah. It's like just a bit of bun with lipstick on it.
Waste not, want not. It's Benjamin Franklin, that is. And he was America's greatest president. It wasn't a president, actually.
Yeah, just talking to like a chef's white on a hanger.
And Rita, I married her.
Can we call the police? Call the police. Call the police. Please call the police now. I don't know if you remember, it was around the time like Twitter became X and Elon Musk took it over.
Do I? When it
got good. Well, there was the time before everyone decided that Elon Musk was a piece of shit and no one liked him, was that he was like, oh, he's kind of like this sort of, you know, maverick.
I remember.
People were like, oh, yeah, he's like the
new Nikola Tesla.
Yes, exactly. So he was like, oh, this is going to be, he's going to take it over. Is he going to make it a more interesting place? Yeah. Before we all realized he was just a sort of, you know, autocratic, narcissistic.
I think that's before even he realised.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyway, so but what he was doing, cause it was around the time of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Oh yeah.
Anyone on Twitter who was spouting pro-Russian viewpoints, whether they were actually in the pay of the Kremlin or not, were being tagged, like they couldn't do anything about it. It was on their Twitter bio. It said Russian state-sponsored media.
Ah.
So it was making them, like, people aware that, okay, this is what you're dealing with.
Right? Wow.
And people could try and, like, challenge it.
Yeah.
Remember George Galloway got accused of it because he's, like, got these mad, like, pro-Russian sort of anti-Western
sure.
views. And they were like, I remember Elon Musk did say something funny to him where he responded, sorry, comrade, you're going to have to stay that way.
Wow.
So that's good. But anyway,
funny stuff.
I think
Elon's good at comedy.
But I think used to be a laugh. this needs to be done. This needs to be done throughout all social media and everything of people who won't learn to drive.
Okay,
this is right.
Okay,
this is
now. I would like to say,
ironically,
first
this
off,
story just took a massive U turn. I didn't see that one.
Do you know what? I was worried when you were
this
talking
story
about
just went careened around a hairpin bend. The Russian state sponsored media. I hate people who can't drive.
No. It's not a can't. This is the problem. It's not people who can't.
Okay? You think it should be? I should be outed?
No. One should be outed. Not you, because there are loads of people. Not just you. There's loads of people. There's loads of people.
It feels like
I just think people need to know who they're dealing with. Like, I don't like a doctor. It's like, this guy just didn't learn to drive. It's like, I'm sorry. Why not?
I understand what you're saying. So you think it shows sort of like a,
and you just need to know,
an abjection of responsibility of just being like,
I'm just very scared, suspicious of it.
You don't trust people.
But it's also not people who can't for medical reasons, because that's just not fair.
That would be crazy to judge
I
them.
I couldn't for medical
if you,
reasons.
So if you've got, yeah. So
it's genuine.
You have epilepsy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, but you didn't learn to drive before you knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck.
But so now you
that no,
you,
I can drive.
You can.
No,
he's
like, you get a year.
He's
fine.
So you won't. So this is clearly.
I've always convinced myself I can't afford it.
This is clearly about, two guys who have been in a working and living relationship for a long time.
It's actually not Darren I have the problem with. One of which
who's willing to ferry around like a sultan.
One of which is the driver of the two. And one is not the driver of the two.
Yeah,
no, but
that's
not the issue.
It's not the issue. It's much deeper than that.
It goes deeper than that. It's people who won't drive.
It's people who think, and I work with a couple of people who are like this, who are actively, so they treat driving as if it's like a hobby that I have that I can't. I can't afford to do that.
Because you're a car enthusiast.
Yeah, and I'm not.
You're a real
and I actually sympathize.
Those little scale electrics.
I really sympathize with people who don't drive who hate cars because it's boring. It's so boring. Yeah, I hate cars.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like cars.
I used to love having a car in Cardiff when I lived there before. And I used to walk everywhere, get trains.
Wish there was a better solution. I would love not to drive for gigs. But it's ultimately often the cheapest, quickest.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
And and you don't have to share your space with other people. I mean, I got the train.
Oh, it's very lucky. I have no charisma. The only reason the Death Hilarious has ever worked is because Darren's charisma and my attention to detail in sketch writing. That's the only reason.
Yeah, those are the reasons. You drive.
That is true.
The driving is the main.
Driving's been about 80% of it.
I can't imagine us getting the train to it.
But the car is still really the only way to get any, especially for a gig. There's no train. There's no train back.
There's been all just doing Instagram and be successful.
I have gigged. Yeah,
You did it absolutely. You were fine.
I managed,
I got a train to Edinburgh two weeks ago and I couldn't believe that anyone would ever do that more than once
in their life. Did you do the train?
Got the train. It was like
to Edinburgh?
Yeah, it was like 7 hours.
I'm getting the train up on Thursday.
Honestly,
you've
done it before, haven't you?
I'm sure.
Well, the train. Yeah,
Have we ever done the bus
to Edinburgh?
No, I've never done the bus to Edinburgh.
We've done the bus to Edinburgh.
We did
Edinburgh. 12 hours.
12 hours.
That's tough. Okay.
So, like, and not in comfort.
No, that's not good. Bus as well. Didn't even pump for the Natty X for that one.
No, absolutely not.
My guys.
30 quid return.
My guys.
No, it was
basically like, you know, holding caged chickens on a line.
I can't.
Generally, one year, this is a couple of years ago when I went to Edinburgh as a punter, we got the electric blue train up there. And I'm not joking. It was really cheap. And the train going up there was half an hour late. So we got half the money back. The train going back was an hour late. So we got all the money back. So I ended up going up to Edinburgh and back for like 30 quid. But honestly, it was like, you know, you see those people people from rural China, they go into the city to get a job, and you see them all hanging on the side of a train.
Honestly, I was walking down
the aisle. There was a baby being changed in the aisle.
Oh my
god! There was
a
dog. There was someone just holding like a massive cactus. Excuse me, and just a massive cactus. Someone had a big house plant. It was fucking chaos there. It was like the cartel were executing somebody outside. Honestly, it was like an opening scene from Indiana Jones. It really was. Dr. Jones. You know the beginning where he's the professor. He's got his briefcase. He zooms out. It just says
like somewhere foreign at the bottom. Yeah.
There's just like a man in a fez trying to sell him dates. He's like, no, not today. You might. Yalla, himshi.
And a monkey just jumping up and down.
Yeah, spider monkey.
Always a monkey. Spider monkey. Okay. Always a woman's here.
Well, I think driving, unfortunately, is often the best option for anything really. So your idea would be that
it's just a tiny little badge.
A little badge. And does it have to get? Do they have
also,
to wear it on
their, and this is not something I've had to deal with.
Do they have to wear it on their person?
No, it's not like a Star of David. It's,
there it is.
We're back.
Yeah, it's not like the Star. And cut. Yeah, not like the Star of David. No, okay. No, it's not the Holocaust.
Well, I think this should also be a similar. It's not meant to pop you, mate. But this should be a similar system for people who refuse to go to therapy.
Because
they think it's morally weak.
Okay.
Because really, what's more dangerous? Putting a man who's been to therapy.
Behind the wheel of a car
or not. I think that's more dangerous. Why, if you're a pilot, you have to have a full background check, full physical history, because any cunt can drive a fucking car.
That's true, actually. So maybe on your driving license, you could have like how much therapy you've had. It's like stars.
What antidepressants you're on. Yeah. How much therapy you've had.
It wouldn't be a bad...
I also think this should apply to dating as well.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, I was going to say, genuinely, this is not because I have done extraordinarily little dating.
I thought you were going to say therapy.
Well, no, I've done zero therapy. That's not true, actually.
I don't think there's a coincidence that those two things.
I'm trying to think there was a close call between how many therapists you've seen and how many women you've been with.
Oh my God.
It's a close call. I think you've seen more therapists than women.
One. So there you go. Yeah, one therapist.
Yeah, one therapist, one woman.
That's good.
No, I did have some.
And he married her. I married her.
She just got me. Session one. Still has to pay her as well.
Yeah. Oh God. Good. No, I did have three sessions of therapy through the civil service.
I'm cured then. Cured.
That's it.
Cured.
No. Absolutely not. No. You've got to give them your money until you die. That's the rule.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all the best ones. They just keep you coming.
That is true. There is
narcissistic drivel for years.
It is one of those. It does become like I have no experience.
This
man is the product of decades of therapy.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Unfortunately, to find out. But it is. You do have to just like. It is like, you know, it is weirdly like, you know, going. Get an MOT with your car or something. I've been to see different therapists, and then you've just got to stop.
You'd be crazy to drive without an MOT.
Hey.
But have a bit of therapy before you get out on the road, maybe.
That's probably a good idea. I've had like three or four therapy sessions just because they were free through the civil service.
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I fucking have them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, because it was done like most of them.
He killed himself.
I'm pretty sure he killed himself. Worse. I'm almost 100% sure she was watching like a box set while she was talking to me on the computer. Would you like to steer this at all? Because I'm afraid we're with the unmanageable guests.
And we need to start winding up pretty soon.
I could stay here all night.
Yeah, it's been great. I've missed you guys so much. It's been way too long.
Too.
We were going to talk about your exciting new podcast, which is coming out, a rival to this podcast. So the Union of Scum.
Union of Scum. And it's just basically us talking about the more kind of rancid aspects of British culture.
I think that's
there'll definitely be like I suspect there will be a Shannon Matthews special at some point.
Well, we've already Charlie keeps bringing up badger baiting. He's like, we're talking about badger baiting.
Okay,
like, people aren't gonna like there's just
okay.
There's a certain like I like grotty. Don't get me wrong, but there's a certain level. If you go under, you start
Jesus
losing.
Jesus Christ! If you're gonna be the moral barometer of this podcast. It's been great catching up. Guys. It's been so lovely having you here.
I hope there's something usable.
Oh, it's been brilliant, honestly.
It's been brilliant. I want to answer the question.
There's so much usable stuff, and I'd love your business ideas. I think the
curry up.
The curry up is genuinely, it solves a problem in these trying times.
Yeah.
It's got a lovely pay it forward message.
Yep. Great.
And I think it's just a great idea. And what was the second one? Beautiful
jetpack.
No. And your second idea was the warning that someone has not learned to drive because you would not trust them in other aspects.
That's right. Well, as a sort of postscript to that one, this is not something that's affected me because, as I said, I've been with my wife like 13 years. We met before dating apps were a thing.
Yeah.
But I know through some of her friends who've met, like, been a bit younger than her, that she works with, who've been on dating apps. And apparently this happens. And it's particularly apparently irritating is that they meet someone. One of her friends met a guy, really, really attractive, like, you know, rugby player, amazing, all this sort of stuff. And then he just breaks the news that he can't drive.
It is a pisser, isn't it? Yeah.
And then
maybe that's why I'm not having any.
And then they have to. Yeah, but they don't know that. That's my point. That's so you'd only find that.
What I am good at, and Glenn will attest to this, and various girl, you know, licensed girlfriends.
Yeah.
Licensed to be my girlfriend, yeah, yeah, but also have a driver's license, is I'm a very good co-pilot.
Sure.
Am I not? I don't fall asleep.
No.
I've kept you awake.
Do you know what?
I've kept us both alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is why I
keep
said,
the banter going. I keep the chat
this
going.
This is why I wasn't having to pop it in particular. Yeah, it was because he is an amazing guest in anyone's car. Yeah. He doesn't sleep.
Can't really sleep in a car.
Do you know what?
I would.
I've been the driver when I'm driving someone else and they've slept.
Whoa.
And I find it very...
bad manners.
It's
unless,
really
unless they've
bad
got like a
manners.
Card-carrying medical problem, yeah, I'm not having that.
I've driven people who have slept as the passenger on
like
the gig drive.
Comedy comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. I'm gonna name and shame a friend of ours. Here Jordan Brooks did it once.
He's a sleeper.
A lovely comedian called Karen Sherrod agreed to drive me and Jordan to Macuntleth. That's like a 3-hour journey.
It's a big one.
He was like, look, you sit in the front, you're doing a show. You know, he was doing a show. I was just a punter, I think. Got in the passenger seat, promptly fucking curled up and fell asleep. And then I had to lean forward between the two seats and
that's
entertain
awful. In the front seat.
In the front seat.
That's
he
outrageous.
Fell asleep. That is outrageous.
Was it the night time though? No, it was daytime.
Daytime.
Was he sleeping in the day?
He curled up and he went.
Is he a cat.
Night. Yeah, he kind of did curl up like a little.
Well, you
cat.
Heard it here first. Jordan Brooks,
sleeper,
got those awards.
Yeah, on the backs of so many
comedy
drivers.
Bona fide comedy genius.
Yeah,
doesn't drive.
Doesn't drive.
Warning, just a warning. Sleep, that's all.
Sleeps as a bad passenger.
I can
top that. Someone told me about, I don't want to name names with this one, but it was someone said that they'd give someone a lift to a gig and he got in the car with a bunch of people and he went, "You're right?" And put his headphones in.
Ooh,
that's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. That's right. Have you got anything coming up in Bristol that people can come to?
We will be doing Mr. Wolf's at some
great.
Point in the next month or two.
Oh, wicked. Yeah, yeah.
It's always a fun night.
Really fun one.
Yeah.
Well, follow the Death Hilarious on...
You
guys on the internet?
We are on Instagram.
The guys on the internet. Honestly, I know I always say it, but one of my favourite acts ever since I started comedy.
You,
I just, you know, I've always been
right,
such a...
Right back at you, kid.
Such a huge fan when we started out. Still absolutely love it. Still great now. Two of the greatest guys.
Oh, get out of here.
We love you. Thanks for coming on, guys. I really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having
cheers,
us.
Mate.
Really
thank
fun.
You. Thanks
cheers.
For having
sorry
us.
You've had to share a seat, but
right.
We are where we are. It is a working groomers at the end of the day, and that has to come first. Stay safe.
Okay,
good night. Thanks for listening to Under the Groomers. Please email us or whatever. I don't know. Leave a review if you can. Bye. Cheers, guys.